This is Real World Radio, and you're listening to Growing Voices.
My name is Sophie Habram, and you are listening to Growing Voices.
They took people's land, they broke people's houses, and they did not compensate them.
In this week's Growing Voices, we dig deeper into the company Wilmar International's business. They're one of the largest palm oil companies in the world. And in December 2013, after many years without any environmental or sustainability principles, Wilmar published a policy committing to an environmentally and socially responsible palm oil industry.
This is Real World Radio, and you're listening to Growing Voices.
In 2011, over 100 Ugandan small-scale farmers got their land grabbed and were evicted by Oil Palm Uganda Limited, a venture co-owned by the heavily criticized Wilmar International. 4 years later, on the 19th of February 2015, the farmers have presented a lawsuit claiming for compensation of their lost land and the caused damages. In today's Growing Voices, we will listen to the voice of the local leader in Kalangala, Uganda, Jim Jen, talking about the land grabs of his community. We meet representatives from civil society, Frank Muramasi from Friends of the Earth Uganda NAPE, and from Friends of the Earth Europe, Anne van Schaik, fighting to highlight yet another case of land grabbing by Wilmar International.
Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
With us now we have Anne van Schaik, accountable finance campaigner at Friends of the Earth Europe. Friends of the Earth International and many of its member groups have campaigned for years to end Wilmar International's unsustainable practices. Could you tell me a bit about Wilmar International, like how do you work?
On the international level, Wilmar has been on the radar of Friends of the Earth groups in Africa and also in Indonesia for many, many years, because Wilmar has been operating in Indonesia for a long time, for more than decades now. And recently they started operating in several countries in Africa, such as Liberia, Uganda, Nigeria, and also other countries. And they obviously treat Africa as the new frontier, where they are also looking for land to build their palm oil plantations on. And unfortunately, they're bringing the same problems that they are causing in Indonesia with them, which is people being displaced, you know, no adequate compensation, and as well as deforestation and environmental degradation. And all these things we also notice in Uganda, where people are left without their land, without any means to build a new existence, and that's very problematic.
And if you read on their webpage, Wilmar International, they have announced in 2013 a policy claiming to advance an environmentally and socially responsible palm oil industry. And they state furthermore that they recognize that sustainable development is the only way forward. What is your comment to that?
We have very serious concerns about this policy because it has been announced in December 2015 and it needs to be applicable to all Wilmar's operations 2 years later. So that is December 2015. Yet from the countries where they are operating, and we have regular contacts with our groups, such as in Nigeria, Liberia, Uganda, as well as in Indonesia, we have not heard of any improvements in their behavior. So people are still not compensated, and there are still court cases, not only in Uganda, but also in the other countries. We have seen in Uganda that the Tropical Forest Trust, that is commissioned by Wilmar to look into their cases, has visited the island Kalangala in Uganda now 2 times, but we haven't heard of any concrete follow-up or suggestions from their side or recommendations by Wilmar or what it is that Wilmar is actually going to do. So until that time, it is very hard for us to take these kind of policies serious.
Thank you. Now we have Frank Muramasi, Executive Director of National Associations of Professional Environmentalists, Friends of the Earth Uganda, and he will comment on the current situation in Uganda regarding Wilmar International oil palm plantations with regards to its sustainable and environmental policies.
They call greenwashing. They just put writings and notices on their web page, in their communications, but I think it's not right. For example, where they are growing those plantations of palm oil, they have cut down the natural forests and then they press them with the palm oil. So it means now they are not friendly to the environment. Secondly, in Uganda we have a law that when you are putting any investment, any infrastructure, you have to leave a certain space between the water, between a lake or a river, and you don't grow anything. They call it a buffer zone. But for them, what they did, so they did not leave that buffer zone. They only dug up to the Lake Victoria, up to the water. So all the soils, all the chemicals have gone into the water, and they have killed the fish. So even that one does not show any friendliness to the environment. So that one is not sustainability. So I think that is a lie. It is only greenwashing their project.
Bwonyo mera sula munju ya kanyomo nyomo bwendi kutandi kwa tamulala
kanyomo nyomo
bwonyo mera sula munju ya
kanyomo nyomo
bwendi kutandi kwa tamulala
kanyomo nyomo
bwonyo mera sula munju ya
kanyomo nyomo
bwendi kutandi kwa tamulala
kanyomo nyomo
bwonyo mera sula munju ya
kanyomo nyomo
bwendi kutandi kwa tamulala
kanyomo nyomo
nalina balunja me.
And now back to Anne, who conducted a field visit this year in January 2015 to talk to the affected community as well to local leaders and government officials in Kalangala. She will tell us about the situation she met regarding Wilmar International's oil palm plantations, land grabbing, and its consequences to the Ugandan society.
I was in Uganda in January 2015. We talked to the community leaders as well as to the community assembly. And what we found was basically people lost their land with little or no compensation. That made it really difficult for them to find alternative ways to sustain themselves, alternative ways of livelihoods. One gentleman, John Moyisa, took us to his house and showed us the foundation of where he wanted to build a new house for his expanding family. But that wasn't possible because his land had been taken away from him, and thereby he had to stay in the old house, which is now basically falling apart because he doesn't have the money to repair it when it is broken down. So we saw a couple of those stories that were obviously really sad. And we attended a meeting of local political leaders. We were quite surprised to find that the way they spoke about the communities was very disrespectful in a way, because they were laughed the way that the people who had received compensation spend it. They said they only drank it away. Then now they are complaining because it is finished. I did not think that was the appropriate way to discuss it. They said that if people had signed the document, they should not complain later that they did not agree on the amount of compensation. But in the Ugandan constitution, it says that if people are on the land and the land is being sold, that these people should have been presented with the first option to buy the land themselves, or at least have a say about that. And that obviously didn't happen. So that is also why we are claiming that laws have been violating in Uganda because of this farm oil project.
Now this community, they're challenging the oil palm venture that has evicted these farmers. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about this case, what has led them to take legal actions.
One of the most courageous people in the community in Kalangala, for sure, is John Muyisa. He is a farmer who has lost more than 40 acres, which is the majority of his land. He only had 3 acres left. And he has resisted this farm or project ever since the beginning. He went to the police, he contacted his own leaders, he even went all the way to the capital, Kampala, where he spoke to the representatives of the president. Still, he did not receive any justice. So for him, that was a very important reason to wanting to fight for justice through legal measures. He is not the only one to take the company to court. It's not only the company, but it's also the local landowners that are being taken to court. He is doing it together with a couple of other people in the community. Our belief is that if they win the case, other people in the community that have been affected will benefit from that verdict as well. So then potentially more than just the 3 people who are presented the case right now will be either getting their land back or being fully recompensated.
And that was Anne from Friends of the Earth Europe. We will now listen to Frank from Friends of the Earth Uganda, NAPE, about his reflections from following the case of Kalangala closely during the last years.
A company that has a lot of plantations in Uganda and that has displaced people. They have a very big plantation of 10,000 hectares, and they connived with the Uganda government, so they chased away the people. They gave them just peanuts, and people who are languishing elsewhere, they don't have where to go, where to sleep. Beginning of this month, with the help of groups like Friends of the Earth Uganda, they organized themselves and took the company together with the government. So now there is a court case, and they are waiting for the judge to decide what to do. If that happens, and it is in their favor, then the community is that benefit, because they will get compensation and get back their land, or they get adequate compensation. And to us, that is very good, because it is against human rights of these communities. Because these are communities, that's why they have their income, where they get their food. And when you chase them just to grow palm oil, I think it is not good. If you want to grow palm oil and you want to get money, if you're a big company, like Bidco, which is an associate of Wilma, that big multinational company, you should then compensate people. It is not very good to chase away the people and you don't compensate them. You take their land, you don't compensate them. You break away their houses. I think that is not good. But we're excited. Maybe the judge will decide in the favor of the communities. We are waiting for the court decision. The case has been lodged. The communities have put their complaints to the judge, and then the judge is yet to fix the date, but it should be very soon. Should be very soon, because it is a high profile case.
now hear a testimony from Jim Jem Kabiri Salongo Gwayenda, representative of the community and local leader at the Kalangala district. Jim Jem will tell us about his community struggles with Wilmer Internationals and the challenges his community have faced.
Adjolina, Adjolina.
So the company itself, it was done formally. Some land, some people were just, the government gave out land for this company. Most of the people were affected. So the most important that the company, when it was acquiring land from the district, from the Uganda Land Commission, it had to take some people's land. The land was given that one, that public land. The rest of the land was for a mile land where people had settled. And when they were giving away the land, they had to take even some people's land who were settlers on that land. And some had not received any title of occupancy, certificate of occupancy. So the cause was that some got their land taken by the company, and the government just never bothered to compensate them. We are saying that the company should call back the land titles the company got from the government, because the Uganda Land Commission gave lease to the company for 99 years. So these people who had also settled on that land, we had to legally to be compensated or to be given land, because people have nowhere to go, they are displaced. So they cannot give away the land because of the oil palm growing. That is the legal action we are taking to see that we call back all the land titles for the company. With the development, you cause a lot of degradation, because they have not, when the government was giving this company, when we are making agreement with this company, there are certain issues they overlooked. There were certain oversights. So you just can't give away all the land. There are some wetlands, there are some lake shores, there's buffer zones whereby this company could not own the land that surrounding the lake. We have been fighting about that then the company should not encroach on the lake shores, because even fish now, it has been, is now in scarce. Because these people cut out the forest, the environment has been disturbed, and you cannot get any fish just near the lake shores. Lake shores should not be taken by investors. That is left in the hands of the government. But these people were just giving all the land titles, and we are not signing off those areas, the wetlands. So the company has used the fertilizers. Those are the chemicals that spoiling even the water and killing even the fish. The water has been spoiled. And when you go where the company is, the factory, that site of the factory, then there is even air pollution. People are not staying well. They are living in a very bad state, because when you the smell itself, you can't even eat from that area. They destroy even the trees. The forest has been put down. We are seeing that the company should even plant trees for the future, because they will need it. Me being as a leader, we are trying to fight to see that we are planting the trees. Even the company itself, we are saying it has to plant trees for the future. Now the trees have been all wasted, and the good trees they have wasted, those are the trees that will take some 50 years to grow into the forest. You see, when the company, they are starting the company, this oil palm growing project, people were promised a lot of things, building schools, and some people had to get other income, because with the oil palm, the plant itself, the oil plant, it is a monopoly of sort of plants. So you don't include other plants. So you have to plant the oil palm tree only, and for miles and miles. So you use other plantations, other species, like the fruit trees, like the food security. sounds so people are just in danger. We think that in the near future, the generation to come, our children will not have anywhere to settle because these people have already made the agreement with the company. They have been given money as a loan, which money they cannot pay back because it is a long-term loan given to them. And when you look at the harvesting process, I don't think they will have to get it back. From what I'm seeing, the people are suffering. They have come to us. Some are asking for more loan, get more money. And I'm seeing that the community, that is poverty. Because the community for the future, they are already displaced. Those who are staying there, they will be doing other things. Because that Ugala Island has been dominated by the project, the European project, and there is no any other business here on, because most of them were fishermen. That's why some people never bothered. They thought we would go to lake and fish. Still, because of they have exploited the environment, even fish is not there. People will live on. I don't think the economy of my community will be a sustainable one, because we need to at least to have a guaranteed future. We guarantee for the environment. Because now, as we talk, Ses Island City is now becoming it. We have a lot of drought, a lot of sunshine because of the degraded environment.
You're listening to Growing Voices.
Finally, in Growing Voices, we will hear about Friends of the Year Europe's future work with a report that is to be presented in this year in November about Wilmar International's dirty business.
Friends of the Earth Europe and several European groups of Friends of the Earth have been campaigning on the financiers of Wilmar to tell them about these problems, so they are already well aware. And our plans are to make a report of the different cases that we have right now in the different countries where Wilmar is operating and publish that beginning of November. So that will be an important time for us and this campaign also to bring to light what actually is happening with this policy of Wilmar. And so we hope that then it's going to be clear for both Wilmar's investors as well as politicians and other important stakeholders that these policies they are not delivering.
And that was Anne Van Schaik, Accountable Finance Campaigner at Friends of the Earth Europe. Thank you so much, Anne, for answering our questions.
You have now listened to this month's Growing Voices, highlighting yet another case of the palm oil industry's land grabbing in the outskirts of the developing world. Yet another company, Wilmar International, completely ignoring environmental and sustainability principles that they claim to abide by, and claiming land that they are not entitled to.
You've been listening to Growing Voices, highlighting environmental struggles in the world.